We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen as Pastor Matt Postiff explains and applies the biblical text one verse at a time. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. Join us now as Pastor Postiff opens God's Word. All right, we traditionally begin our Thanksgiving service with one of the Thanksgiving proclamations, and I've actually written a Thanksgiving myself this time, but I'm not going to share that until just a few moments from now. But I'd like to share with you a proclamation that I've copied out today. And it says this: since the pilgrims observed the initial Thanksgiving holiday in 1621, this occasion has served as a singular expression of the transcending spiritual values that played an instrumental part in the founding of our country. 120 years ago, in the midst of a great and terrible civil conflict, President Abraham Lincoln formally proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving to remind those insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God of this nation's bounty and greatness. I'm afraid, my friends, that we have a lot of people insensible to the providence, the happy providence of Almighty God over our nation. Many people dissatisfied, angry, hateful at the current conditions of the country, when this is probably among the best places to live on the face of the planet. Our author continues: several days after the dedication of the Gettysburg battlefield, the United States celebrated its first national Thanksgiving. Every year since then, our nation has faithfully continued this tradition. The time has come once again to proclaim a day of Thanksgiving, an occasion for Americans to express gratitude to their God and their country. In his remarks at Gettysburg, President Lincoln referred to ours as a nation under God. We rejoice in the fact that while we have maintained separate institutions of church and state for over 200 years of freedom, we have at the same time preserved reverence for spiritual beliefs. Although we are a pluralistic society, the giving of thanks can be a true bond of unity among our people. I guess I could say it ought to be a true bond of unity. We can unite in gratitude for our individual freedoms and individual faiths. We can be united in gratitude for our nation's peace and prosperity when so many in this world have neither peace nor prosperity. As was written in the first Thanksgiving proclamation 120 years ago, no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God. God has blessed America and her people, and it is appropriate that we recognize this bounty. And so it says, now therefore I, Ronald Reagan — this is who wrote this proclamation — President of the United States of America, in the spirit of the pilgrims, President Lincoln and all succeeding presidents, do hereby proclaim Thursday, November 24th, 1983, as a national day of Thanksgiving. And I call upon Americans to affirm this day of thanks by their prayers and their gratitude for the many blessings upon this land and its people. And so he wrote that he set his hand to this in the seal on the 15th day of September in the year of our Lord 1983, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 208th. Well, now we're coming up to the 250th, right soon, aren't we? So, well, Thanksgiving. Some of you thanked God in prayer in the last hour as we prayed from 6:30 to 7:30 tonight, and wish that you that are online could have joined us there, and maybe next time. But dear friends, our message tonight is simply this: God deserves our thanks. God deserves our thanks. So if you young people are taking notes, that's the easy title for you: God deserves our thanks. And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of reasons why throughout this message. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says this: therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Some of us can thank God that we have a new baby this year. I'm looking at one right now. Some can thank God that we have a new car. One of our shut-in families can thank God they have a new bathroom in their house. You might thank God that you have a healthy spouse, a living parent or parents, children who are growing in knowledge and wisdom, and many other particular gifts. I think somebody mentioned in our prayer time tonight something that jogged my memory, and to say, you know, thanks, Lord, if you need a wheelchair and you have one, an electric scooter and you have one. Think about all the things that you could give thanks for. Now, we know that there's no end in immediate sight for humanity's trials, including disease, war, famine, other natural disasters, besides the toilsome nature of work in this world. Sometimes work is enjoyable. Other times it's just repetitive and boring and difficult, and you break your, you know, you bust your knuckles or you whatever if you're that kind of in that kind of work, or you hurt your brain thinking about the problem that you're facing. But there's coming an end to all those difficulties when Jesus returns. Then there will never be an end of, well, there is the end of difficulties, but there's never going to be the end of thanksgiving to God. For all the saints will sing of the glorious provisions of God for all eternity, for His kindness and His grace. Think of Revelation 4, 9 through 11, where the text of Scripture says, "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.'" These are the last three references to the word thanks in the Bible, by the way. The next one in Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. And it says, "All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God," this is in heaven now, "saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom,'" and here it is, "'thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" And then one more in Revelation 11, 15 through 18. It says this, "Then the seventh angel sounded." This is the trumpet, the seventh trumpet of the group of seven trumpets after the seals. And we have yet the bowls to come, but this seventh trumpet, it says, "And there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord.'" This is in heaven. John seeing this in heaven, giving thanks over and over again. "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth." Thanksgiving in heaven. And that will be that way for all eternity, won't it? Well, the psalmist asks this question, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me?" What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Well, I would say God deserves our thanks for creating such a hospitable world, for creating us, for giving us wonderful human relationships, for allowing us the joy of bearing children and raising them, for granting us to see our parents advance in their years, for the means to learn, for good jobs and income, for health care, God deserves our thanks, even for retirement pensions, for relief from some of life's suffering by simple things like medication, as well as creating angelic ministers to serve those who will inherit salvation. God deserves thanks for all of that. He deserves our thanks likewise for making us in His image, giving us minds and reason and logic and love and a vital soundness that of mind I'm thinking of here that allows us to function with success in the world. And we give thanks that we can exchange thanksgiving with and toward one another. As we thank God, we are thankful people and we want to give thanks to those that are around us. Have you ever known somebody that's full of thanks? Perhaps somebody that has experienced a lot of life's troubles and they are so grateful for the simple things that someone does for them. Especially some older person, you know, has experienced the grace of life and the grace of thanksgiving. We can show that grateful character toward each other as a small model of what we must show to God. God deserves our thanks for every happy laughter and every joyful hug, for transportation and the ability to travel, and for a chair to sit on and the ability not to travel if you don't want to. Lest this seem like a thanksgiving that could only be offered by a typical middle-class family because of all the privileges that I've listed or the benefits or blessings or material things, let us remind ourselves that God has created the stars and the moon and allowed everyone on this planet to enjoy them, except, of course, those from whom He has withheld eyesight. He deserves our thanks for the light of day, the lights by night, the heavenly bodies that guide the sailors and mark the seasons. He has sent the sunshine and the rain on the evil and on the righteous. Matthew 5:45 tells us that in the Sermon on the Mount. He even sends the snow. It's snowing outside right now, actually. The hail, the lightning to do its work on the earth. He created plants. And think of it. He created plants that create new seeds within themselves by which we can plant them and grow our food. And we can plant them and see beautiful flowers and shrubs and trees grow up and vegetables and grains and fruits. That is really remarkable that one seed can produce hundreds and sometimes thousands of others. He deserves our thanks that He created the birds and the land animals and the creeping things and the sea creatures which teem in the oceans and the waters that we may have meat and we may observe their beauty in the aquarium or in real life out in the wild and their power also in nature. Think about the great whales, for example, and to give God thanks for those. I was just hearing somebody talk about studying the whales because they can live so long and don't have such, they're not as subject to cancer as we are. How do they live that long? Some whales live two human lifetimes. Other animals do the same. God deserves our thanks in that He rescued the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt, thus saving the plan of salvation from the evil one, that He split the Red Sea and brought them back to their homeland. He deserves thanks because He was faithful to His promises to bless and to curse. He defeated the pagan enemies of the people of Israel as they entered the land and conquered it. But then He sent His people into captivity when they behaved just as paganly as their former neighbors. Not one word failed of all of His good promise. 1 Kings 8:56. Solomon says, God deserves our thanks for extricating us from trials and setting our feet on solid ground, for comforting us in loss and encouraging us in trials. He's provided for us human government that is meant to restrain evil and to praise those who do well. In our nation in this past year, that government has focused more on good stewardship and the reduction of crime and the increase of safety and prosperity of our people. For those things, we can give God thanks. God deserves our thanks because He's good and His mercy endures forever. Where do you find that? Psalm 136, dozens of times. But not only does God deserve our thanks in general, or God the Father, but the Lord Jesus deserves our thanks too, doesn't He? He visited us in our lowest state. He humbled Himself to come to earth and to be impoverished and to serve others and to be humiliated and killed on a cross and buried. And He deserves our thanks too, because He escaped the grave. He conquered death and lives forever, waiting until His enemies are put under His feet. He deserves thanks in advance, because as Lord and Christ, He will reign in righteousness as King of the earth, and no one will stay His hand. He will judge the wicked and reward the righteous, and eventually banish all wickedness from His presence and the presence of His people. He deserves our thanks for offering us forgiveness and righteousness and eternal life by simple but wholehearted trust in Him, which, by the way, is also a heavenly gift, Philippians 1:29 says, and for giving us the grace of repentance too. 2 Timothy 2:25, the Bible says about repentance, and Acts 11 too, that it's a gift from God. We thank Him that we do and will share in His glory. John 17, Jesus prayed that they would behold My glory, which I had before the foundation of the world, and that glory would be in them as well. And we thank Him for His church, for He is the head of this body of believers. Here in this particular place, He's ordained for the most recent 44 and a half years that Fellowship Bible Church should exist. And this would be our spiritual home away from home as we wait for His upward call. This means, too, that we're thankful for every member, every partner, every attender in our church family. The Holy Spirit also deserves our thanks, doesn't He? After all, He's baptized each and every Christian into the body of Christ. He sealed us and thus guaranteed our future redemption. He's taught us and continues to lead us. He dwells in us. He sanctifies us. Despite our still sinful condition, He brought us to faith. He convicted us about sin. He convinced us of God's righteousness and our lack of it, and taught us about coming judgment. Indeed, it is true that the triune God deserves our thanks. After all, Scripture commands it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Scripture says the following words: in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We should think about the manifold blessings granted to us and rejoice in thanks for them. But also, I might add, we should humbly seek God, that He may see fit to grant a continuation of these good blessings and divine favors that are wholly undeserved. As we've been taught to say, if you had tomorrow only what you thanked God for today, what would you have? And so we must thank God and seek that He may grant a continuation of that divine favor. Have you asked for the new life and the car and the bathroom and the wheelchair and all of those things that we said earlier, the living parents, the children who are growing in knowledge and wisdom, and the many other particular gifts, that you might see their continuation of them and let God know that you appreciate what He's done for you? God is worthy of our thanks. He receives our thanks. He is pleased when we thank Him. Not because it makes Him feel better, per se, but it does our souls good. And so I say again, God deserves our thanks. And that's our message tonight, my friends. God simply deserves our thanks. And I pray that you will think of that this evening and tomorrow with your families and remind them that that is the case. We should praise Him for His goodness to the children of men. Let me just read in closing a couple of verses of poetry, which we draw from a hymn. But I'm just going to read these. It's from the hymn, "Come, Ye Thankful People, Come." Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, does provide for our wants to be supplied. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto His praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and take His harvest home. From His field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give His angels charge at last in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in His garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to Thy final harvest home. Gather Thou Thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified in Thy presence to abide, come with all Thine angels come, raise the glorious harvest home. Come, ye thankful people, come. Our God in heaven, we pray that You would teach us indeed to be thankful. As we sang earlier, as we read just now, and as we thought through this message, God, it is true that You deserve our thanks. Many people deserve thanks, Lord, for what they've done for us. Even some institutions deserve our appreciation. But most of all, God of the universe, sitting on a throne high and lifted up, You deserve our thanksgiving. And we wish to give it to You tonight. We thank You, Lord. Thank You for all these blessings that we've enumerated tonight, and probably pages and pages more that I didn't think of in my office when I wrote this. You've been so kind. Pray for a continuation of those blessings for each person who's here and each person listening today, tonight, or later on the live stream, that they too will experience a continuation of those blessings that they recognize as coming from Your hand, and that increasingly we will recognize all blessings come from You, for there is no gift, no good gift, but that which comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. For You are the immutable, good, kind, loving, benevolent God. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.